awake and ready? No, you seem like you're not sure about that, but okay. We'll get things going here. So this morning, we are going to be officially finishing our first book of the Bible together. And if you don't know, I've been here now for about 7 months, and whether you know it or not, I've actually taught through the book of Ephesians 3 times in my life as a pastor. I've been a pastor for almost 20 years now, and this is my 3rd time teaching through it, and this was by far the best one for me. I think I'd learned the most, I think I was challenged the most, and so my hope is that some of you experienced that as well. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I read through it more than I ever have. One of the things that we started when we kind of got into the book of Ephesians right in August there was I was encouraging you to read a chapter a day. So we did kind of Monday through Saturday, there's 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians, and try to continue to do that. It's probably fizzled out a bit on some of us through the series, and that's okay. That's all right, because I know we started well, and I know many of you were talking about it, and so that was super encouraging for me. But I think it also helped many of us hopefully get a better grasp of this book, and hopefully maybe showed you some new things, or maybe a different way of looking at the book of Ephesians that maybe you've never done before. And so this morning, we're going to be wrapping up the book of Ephesians, but we're also coming to the end of February's now over, but one of the things that we do in February is we do what we call our kindness campaign. Opportunities to show kindness to our community, kindness to one another, and so we're going to put the two of them together this morning, and we're going to talk about what that is, and then we're going to hopefully tie this all up in a neat bow. Ephesians, but also kindness campaign is an opportunity to kind of share together, and as we mentioned that we're going to have an opportunity to share in a little bit, but I'll tell you more about that along the way. But again, we're going to try to tie this up in a neat bow today, and then I'm going to take off on holidays Wednesday for a week. Joe's going to be teaching next Sunday. My youngest son and I are running down to Palm Springs where my parents hibernate for the winter, and so we're going to go and spend a week with them, and so we're looking forward to that. But while I'm gone, here is what I want you to do. When I get back, I think March 15th will be, I'm only gone the one Sunday. When I come back, we are going to be diving into the book of James. And so we're going to start with the same task again. James has 5 chapters, so you actually have less reading. You only have to do Monday to Friday reading. And so I want to encourage you to start tomorrow into the book of James. Read 1 chapter a day. I don't think I need to time it out again. I timed out Ephesians, and it took me 1:30 to read a chapter. And so we're not asking about a ton of time, but I would encourage you to read 1 chapter a day of James, just Monday through Friday, which means you'll have read the book twice by the time I'm ready to start teaching on March 15th. So I would encourage you to start working on that, and then we're going to get into the book of James, and I think God's got some pretty interesting things for us as I've been working and studying through that. And so we'll get into that in a couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to that. But here is where we are today. We are into the final couple verses of Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read them to you, and we're going to be a little bit shorter today on the message, but there's going to be some opportunities to share as time goes on. There's no kids club today. If you were wondering, some of you kids, you're all staring at me like, when's he going to dismiss us? We don't have kids club on potlucks. That's going to be our new thing, because it's too hard to run kids club and get the potluck ready. And so whenever there's potluck, there'll be no kids club, and they get a break too, which we're glad for them as well. Anyways, we're going to read together Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 to 24, just a few short verses, and they'll be up on the screen. And then Paul says this in closing, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus," be glad you don't have to say that out loud, "the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." As we've been working through this book, we've really talked about from the very beginning that the book is really broken up into just 2 parts. Right? The first part of the book, chapters 1 to 3, it talks about what we titled it as kind of gospel truth. And we were talking about, as a Christian, this is who you are in Jesus Christ. That was the first part of the book and your relationship with him. The second part of the book, Ephesians chapter 4 to 6, it talks about what we phrased it as gospel living, which means how we are to live in light of that truth. And that becomes then our relationship with one another. First part of the book, relationship with God. Second part of the book, relationship with one another. And so we've spent the last 7 months, really 6-7 months, working on that. And one of the things that we've hoped to is build some foundation under that, to strike a balance between gospel truth and gospel living, because it's important to find a little bit of both of that. And as we know, we've been working through this book. It's titled Ephesians, but really it was Paul the Apostle writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. What we know about Paul is that he was in prison at the time of this writing. And here is what we see in the final few verses, is that although Paul is in prison, he still has a great concern for the church. He has great concern for people. And it's because of this great concern, this great love for the church, for this church in particular, he wants to encourage the hearts of the church. And I believe even today, Paul wants to encourage this church today. The church is you. The church is me. The church is all of us together. And so this morning, I am by no means saying that I'm Paul, but I want to have the heart of Paul this morning. And that is to encourage all of you. You see, people, Paul is a pastor who wants to connect with his people relationally. He wants to know the people, and he wants the people to know him. To me, that's one of the great qualities of being a pastor, and one that I want to keep growing in as your pastor, is to have deep family relationships with you. And that you have deep family relationships with me, my wife, and my family. That you would have deep family relationships with one another. That it's not simply people who just attend on a Sunday, partake of religious goods and services, and then off we go. But that we are our family. That we know how each other are doing. We know what's going on in one another's lives. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage your heart. Some of you have been in this church a really long time. We won't say how long. We won't raise hands. We won't compare years. Some of you have not been here that long. And it doesn't matter how long that you've been here, I want to encourage your heart. And so I've been here, as I mentioned, for 7 months. And I don't know about you, but it's gone kind of fast. Maybe for you, it's like, it's gone real slow, but I just don't want to say it out loud. For me, it's gone real quick. Maybe I'm old hat for some of you already, but I want to express to you more than anything, thank you. You are an amazing group of people. I want you to know that from my wife and I. I want to thank you for letting us into your lives, allowing us into your families, and we haven't got together with everybody yet. We're working on it. But I want to thank you for the amazing grace that you have shown to us, your words and your deeds, the dinners, the lunches, the get-togethers, the coffees. This is a good church. Regardless of what people may have told you about it, regardless of what you think about it sometimes, this is a good church. You are a good group of people. And I know sometimes we can find our failures, and we can find our faults as a church, and we can, you know, focus on the areas of maybe where we're weak. I've been a part of the church a very, very long time. I've experienced many different churches. This is a good church, people. If you're new here and checking it out, I'm not saying we're a perfect church, but you're in a good place. If you want to grow and learn with this group of people, you've picked a good place today. I think our church is strong in many wonderful ways, and my hope is we will continue to grow in that. My prayer is that we would continue to grow as individuals. And what do you mean by that is I want to see each and every one of us continue to grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. I want us to see continue to move forward, because that's, to me, where you go as a church. It starts with personal renewal that leads to corporate renewal. So much of the church is we just do the corporate and then we forget about the personal. No, we're going to start personal. The church can't grow until all of us as individuals continue to grow together. That is a growing church. And so my hope is to continue to do that, and I've seen a lot of that as we've been working through the book of Ephesians. It's not always about programs or an events, people. It's about renewal. The renewal of hearts and lives. The renewals of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Renewals of relationships. Renewal in community. Getting to know each other in a deeper way. It's always shocking to me, whether it's this church or any other church that I've been in, how some people can attend the same church but know virtually nothing about the person down the row. That's not how the Bible describes the church. There'll be people that we connect with more, and that's great, but we are to be growing together as a church family. And I see that occurring here. I see that growing. I see that we are a church that connects to one another. I want to see us continue to grow in being known by one another. Not just simply I show up and nobody knows me, but that I show up and people know me. And not just my name and what I do for work, but they might know me in my life or my struggle or what's going on with my children or my grandchildren or whatever the situation might be. But I want you to know I do see that here. I do see that you connect well with one another. And I want you to know how much I appreciate getting to know you as much as we hope you appreciate getting to know us as well, and that we will continue to do that together. Because to me, that's partially what defines us as a family, is to be fully known and fully loved. To be fully known and fully loved. That's what a family is supposed to be. And so we want our family here at Slave Lake Alliance to continue to grow. More and more people to be fully known and fully loved. If we do more than one service, great, do more than one service. It doesn't matter to me, I'll just preach twice. Come to the second service because the second one would probably be better than the first one, right? But if that's what God has for us, then we figure that out together as a family. I think one of the fears that many of us have about the church is we're afraid to be known. You see, it's this whole idea of our life where we want to be known, and this is kind of our human nature, we want to be known, but we also really want to be liked. We all have that in us, where we want to be known and we want to be liked. But here's the fear, and maybe why some of you are afraid to go to that level. You have this fear that if someone really knew me, they won't really like me. People, we have to fight against that feeling here. We have to fight against that feeling that if someone would truly know me, they won't like me. If we believe in the God that we worship and celebrate, then to be fully known needs to be fully loved and fully liked, if you will. People, we need a willingness to let more people in, to create a community that people can trust. And I can tell you that I've seen many examples of this in the 7 months that I've been here. And we really talked about it in the first few months as we looked at chapters 1 to 3. If you look at that, you know, it says if you're a Christian today, the Bible talks about us as the family of God, that we are adopted into that family. So therefore, we are brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. We are family. And so as a family, we are to encourage the hearts of one another. And I see that here. Again, it's not about perfect, but I see a growing and healthy version of it. And I want to say thank you. Not just because you've shown it to us, but I see you showing it to one another. Because we see it in Paul's friend, Tychicus. Paul calls him his beloved brother, right? That's the language. That's family language. It's not because they were related. He's a fellow leader with Paul. He was a fellow pastor. But because of being a Christian, he was adopted into the family of God. And so Paul uses brotherly language. But here's an interesting thing. Who is this guy? We don't know a ton about him. We know that he was from Asia, which means he was probably not of Jewish background. We think he was probably a Gentile. We know enough that he probably had different economic status than Paul. He may not come from a wealthy background. We know that he was a messenger, but not a writer of Scripture. We're pretty sure that he was also younger than Paul. And so here's the thing that's important to understand about this guy. He's of different ethnicity, different age, different status. yet their family. They were brothers. People, it doesn't matter our age, our gender, our bank account, our skin color, our background. People, the church is to be family, and we are to encourage one another, and we are to draw more into the family of God. And Paul gives us four words in the last part of this verse that I want to kind of wrap up a little bit with. Four words to encourage the hearts of one another. Four words that I think he's got to encourage us as a church family. In verse 23, the first word we see is peace. We've been talking about this word from the beginning of the book. As we mentioned, you know, when you look at the cross on the wall and you see what Christ did for us, that was to bring peace. Jesus died on the cross to reconcile us to God vertically, but also to reconcile us to one another horizontally. People, whenever you have reconciliation between God and between man, that's peace. And Paul is praying for peace over the congregation. People, the cross is a symbol of a new status, a new relationship with God and with others. People, to belong to God means that we belong to one another. You cannot separate the two. We are to grow in fellowship and intimacy with God, but we're also to grow in fellowship and intimacy with one another. People, at this church, at this time, I sense that there is peace in our congregation. I sense that there is a peace in this congregation. And I pray that we continue to grow in our fellowship with God, but also continue to grow in our fellowship with others, because as we do that, to me, that's what keeps the peace in the congregation at times. It's when we're no longer at peace with God, or we're fighting against God, or fighting against one another, that the peace often leaves. This is why I was saying to you earlier, personal renewal leads to corporate renewal. The first and most important relationship is between you and Jesus Christ. As that relationship continues to grow, you realize corporate grows from there as my love for one another. And so our focus, and a lot of the focus in our teaching and what we do here, is primary vertically between us and God. That we would continue to mature and grow in our faith with Jesus Christ. But that should encourage our heart, because as we do that, I believe that we will grow and mature in our faith with one another. That's the byproduct of the vertical, is the horizontal, if you will. And so I hope that peace today, it would encourage your heart. What does he say next? Peace be to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith. What does he mean by love with faith? I think what Paul wants to encourage the congregation with is this, is to continue to grow in faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I've seen this played out over the last few months being here. As I said, I'm seeing you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm watching you grow in your love for one another. So thank you. Be encouraged by that today. People, the very proof of discipleship is how well we love one another. How well we take care of one another. I kind of see it every week, and I find it interesting. There's a little table in the foyer, if you haven't noticed, off to the side. Several months ago, Cindy came to me from the church here and said, could we do a secret sister? Ladies can come together and love and encourage and serve one another. I've noticed almost every week that table's full. So you ladies are doing a good job of loving one another and taking care of one another. I know Cindy's not here today, but you know I appreciate and thank her for kind of leading out what she felt God was telling her to do. But for me, it's the great encouragement to see you encourage one another. Care for one another. People, you do know that that's a sign of maturity and growth and discipleship as a church, right? Is the ability to love and care and serve one another. I know we're all different. I know I'm very different. That's what my wife says. You know, I'm different. But we are to love the differences in one another. What's the next thing he says? Peace be to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next word is grace. Grace to all who love Jesus. People, may we be continually marked by grace as a church. May our actions and our words to one another be marked by grace. The way we deal with one another, may it be marked by grace. May we show grace to one another in this church. People, I can tell you right now, a church filled with grace is a very, very attractive church to our community. Because most people don't think that about the church. Most people's view of the church is not grace. And some of that we have to own as believers in our own way. But we can shed a new light on that into our community, into one another. People, I feel like we're also living in a world where grace is dying. Grace is leaving. And we have to fight against that to not have it die within the local church. Let grace be by which we lead and love and care for one another. Let grace be the words that come out of your mouth and even my mouth. But I want to say this to you. I think you are a graceful group of people. I thank you for your grace to me, the grace you've shown to my family, accepting me as your pastor, right? That's a big step. It's not easy trying to find someone to come and lead and teach in your church. And I know often in congregations, the board does a lot of the work, and then somebody comes in and everybody's like, oh, I guess this is it. I hope this works. But you have been an incredibly graceful bunch of people, and I thank you for that. And I pray that grace might be what continues to move us forward as a church. The last thing in here. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. People, we are to be in constant love with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that the love we have towards one another will not be corrupted. So that our love for one another will not be corrupted by our sin. That our love for one another will not be corrupted by the enemy. We talked about that last Sunday a little bit. Spiritual warfare, the mix of the enemy and the mix of sin. Kind of finding the balance. You realize that's what destroys love within the church. Is the work of the enemy to see us destroyed, but also the work of your sin and sin in my life banging against each other. But we have to not allow that to be corrupted. And again, that starts with our relationship with Jesus Christ. But there's something very interesting as I was reading this week. We're not going to flip over there, but if you've ever read through the early part of Revelation, which I know you guys are doing in the adult Sunday school upstairs, but in the Revelation chapter 2, we see that the church of Ephesus is being addressed. And there's a sentence in there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, and this is Jesus' words, or kind of John through Jesus speaking, and said, one of the criticisms he had against the church was this, that you abandoned the love you had at first. There was a lot of good things for the church in Ephesus in Revelation, but that was the one negative. People, I think the warning for Ephesus, but also for us, is that we need to be careful as a church to not abandon our first love of Jesus Christ. That our love for other things does not become more important. The love of my preference or the love of the way we do church, but our love of Jesus Christ, which then would attack our love for one another. People, we need to pay attention to our relationship with Christ and pay attention to our relationship with one another. The enemy wants to divide us. The enemy would want to devour us and separate us. But here's the thing. We don't fight this battle alone. We are here as a congregation and other believers who we are to stand and fight together. We need to encourage each other's hearts. And my hope this morning is that you've been encouraged as we've studied through the book of Ephesians. And so this morning, we want to hear from you. We mentioned it last week. We've put it out in the email a little bit this week to kind of give you some preparation. And as part of our kindness campaign, we want to tie this together just to hear maybe how someone maybe encouraged you or how you were able to do something for someone else, maybe kindness or an encouraging word to them. It's not always about what's the big results, because often the results we don't see, but we're called to love one another. And so we want to hear about maybe what has gone on in our own church family. And we want to do this today so that you can be encouraged by one another. Not just encouraged by the pastor, if you will, but that we could be encouraged by one another. Because people, as I said, we are a family. We are to be doing this together. There is nowhere you'll find digging around in the New Testament of evidence of a believer doing life in isolation. We're not meant to do this alone. In fact, it doesn't take very long to even do some sociology studies to find out that isolation is killing humanity. Isolation is killing people. And if we're not careful, that kind of thing can crawl into the church and just like, well, it's just about me and I'll do my own thing. And we live in isolation. In fact, the Bible says that we are sheep. And one of the things you know about sheep is that they flock together for safety and protection. They flock together to be fed. They flock together to grow and to learn and care for one another. They stick together, they move together, and we know from the Bible that when one takes off or one disappears, that the shepherd goes after them and brings them back. If isolation was normal, then the shepherd would be like, all right, see you later, we're still here. But the shepherd goes after the one in isolation and wants to pull them back. People, Jesus, the great shepherd, wants us to stay together for encouragement, to be fed, to be cared for, and to grow. And so, people, the strength of this church is not in us. The strength of this church is not in our doing or our striving. The strength of this church is in the grace of God alone. And so that's what we want to share. And we're going to take a few moments. I'm going to ask Teresa, she was going to come and if you just want to share a word or two, where'd the white one go? She's going to walk around and we'll go as long as we need to. And if it goes quiet after a bit, we're going to take communion together as a family. And so, if there's anyone or if Teresa wants to go first, not to put her on the spot, but I'll let her take over.